Who do you look for mature leadership? I think it's the Prickly City Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for April 8th, 2019. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Hello, and welcome, and thank you, Janine. And what a beautiful day here in Chicago.
I know.
Spring has finally shown up, and it's gorgeous, and it's just in time because it's the opening day for the Cubs.
Home opener here
at Wrigley Field. Now, there was a guy running. They're playing the Pittsburgh Pirates, right? There's a guy who, I was waiting for you here at the offices of WGN, and the guy on the street ran by, and he was wearing a Pirates shirt, but a Cubs cap.
Ooh, divided loyalties. That happens.
Within himself?
Well, you've done that before.
And what have I done?
I think I've seen you with a Cubs thing and a Padres thing.
Well, yeah, but they, yeah, that's okay, though. That's different.
It's you.
It's me. Anyway, so thank you and welcome to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. We're going to crank this one out. It's going to be, we've got a lot, not much to talk about, actually. The strips talk, we had the PC strips. We talked about comic strips getting too small. We had the April Fool's joke, which actually had some pretty good traffic on Go Comics.
Oh, did it? Good.
Yeah, because it's Trump saying, and that's why I've decided not to run for re-election. And of course, Carmen Winslow, you know, faint. And he goes, God, can't you losers take an April Fool's joke? Looking for the presidential voice of reason. And that's been my whine for, you know, since this administration started. There aren't any adults. I mean, he's not an adult. He's a petulant child, right? And so couple that with the idea that there doesn't seem to be any mature voices out there. And it's,
well, you basically said that you don't remember. Carmen said she doesn't remember any mature leadership. So people commented on that.
Yeah. Well, that seems, oh, that's wrong, but because I do.
She said, do you remember when the president was supposed to be a voice of maturity?
Yes.
And she said, I don't either. So lots of people commented on that. Street Beater says, a man's reason and maturity has nothing to do with his policies. Bush 1 and Obama had very different policies, but they both fit the description. Clinton was a bit of a conniver, and W was a simpering frat boy. We have had examples to respect and lampoon from both parties in the last 30 years, but Trump, regardless of your view of his policies or the questionable people he has brought with him, is petty, vindictive, and mean.
Yeah, no, that's succinct, and that's true. I agree with that.
Bun Warp Gazoo, which I just love the name, agreed also and said President Obama was reasoned and mature no matter what one thinks of his policies.
I think that's true. I think maybe to a fault. As history, and maybe I'll talk about this sometime in the strip, but I can talk about it on the podcast, is history is going to view President Obama as transformative because of his race. But in terms of his actual presidency, I think it was pretty mediocre. You had Obamacare, which was a massive success. We've talked about that before on this podcast and how it probably should have been more sweeping. He had the opportunity and didn't take it. But I think history is going, but his demeanor was always one of maturity and calm. Versus whatever the hell this is. I'm still a never Trump Republican, apparently. And Trump actually mentioned us the other day. So, yay, we got a shout out for the president.
Well, Muggins said, compared to the current treasonous liar in chief, all previous presidents were voices of reason and mature. To which Mogman 12 responded, Trump is not treasonous and he never lies. Which got a lot of,
did he
as
say
you
that?
Can imagine,
he had to be kidding.
That. No, he's definitely very.
He
Trump
never lies.
I know. He says people brought that up. They brought up the showing his taxes, and someone else mentioned, well, everyone changes their mind. People are allowed to kind of change their mind or say something that they may regretted and wanted to, you know, change their thoughts on. But I have to disagree completely because they have shown videos of Trump saying one thing and then later saying something else.
Well, and stubborn things like facts. No, it's empirical. The guy lies,
right,
or he's just stupid. Either of those answers to that question raises horrific, you know, horrific notions about the future of this country. So, what else we got? Come on, let's keep going.
Okay.
We're on a roll,
we're
baby.
Also talking about who does
I don't
Winslow
call
look
baby
for
very
mature
often, except no. on the podcast.
Who does Winslow look to for mature leadership? And Darson 54 mentioned that we shame people for wanting to be a leader, and GorillaZilla said we also examine every detail of their past, not with the desire to understand the person, but with the intent to dig up some trivial but embarrassing and easily exploitable incident from the past. This means that not only the most ambitious but the most shameless will even try to run for office.
Wow. Who was that?
GorillaZilla.
I love that. I love the name. And that is spot on. Yeah, I mean, it's a question I've raised in the strip. It's a question I've raised on the podcast. And and you and I talk about it all the time. Gene's a little bored of it. But if someone is a bad person, but they produce or say something wise and wonderful, or great art, or great policy, do you forgive or ignore the very human foibles we're all subject to? Gorillazilla is absolutely correct when they say we don't go in the background and look for gotcha. You know, back in 1972, you did a sexist or a racist thing. You know, yeah, it was, and you can look back on it and go, oh my God, that was terrible. Which should be the reaction, of course, by any reasonable human being. But the culture of the time, you look at, I mean...
But do you have to always be judged on something maybe you did in high school or...
Not just that, but also the culture of the time was different. It was, you know, and you can see it through the gauze of contemporary thought, but that, and that's fine, but you live in contemporary times. But they did not, or these actions weren't taken back then. If you love history, you would recognize that people did horrific things, did stupid things, did hurtful things. And, you know, if they were alive today, would they have done the same thing? I doubt it. But again, can we judge? I mean, there's some great artists. There's some great movie makers. Do you not watch their films? Woody Allen films, there's a handful of them I love. But he's a monster. I mean, you know, you marry your daughter. Sorry. That puts you in that category. You know, and some of the other actors, some of the other directors, writers, some artists, some writers. I mean, you know, Picasso was a monster too. He was an abusive asshole. He's a misogynist jerk. Does that mean his art is any less important or wonderful to look at? I don't, you know, no. I mean, so anyway.
Yeah, that's a very difficult question.
You don't have an answer?
No.
Oh, I look to you for answers, Janine.
Not this
time. You're the wise one.
Not this time.
All right. What else we got?
Well, you mentioned Carmen said she wasn't running, and they mentioned Hannity wanted to eat her liver with a nice Chianti, which got this hilarious couple comments.
Oh, gosh.
Ignat says, this is funny, but I can't imagine Sean Hannity actually having taste in wine, to which Jay Gray responded, which is why he would go with Chianti.
I love that. That's great. I can't add to that. Keep going.
That was it. That was just those were funny and very humorous
on that
subject. No.
Oh no, we got more.
I thought you meant just on that subject.
No, I meant.
So your Sunday comic on comics getting smaller.
Yes.
Braindead responded, "Hey, it's capitalism. Anytime you don't maximize revenue and minimize every single shred of cost, you are losing money. A venal sin. Anything else will just be Venezuela." To which Dirac responded, that's not capitalism, that's corporatism. I don't have a problem with mom-and-pop capitalism. It's the squeeze-them-till-they-drop-till-they're-dead corporate mentality that pushes me more towards what some would call socialism.
You know what? Who said that? Last comment?
Dirac.
And we're probably close on this. I agree with that, to be quite frankly. I work in an industry, I work in newspapers, and I see where they are being marauded by hedge fund types who have no concern or affection for the mission of journalism. And so they cut. I'm going to talk about it in an upcoming Prickly City about news deserts now, which is something you never thought you'd see in your life.
That,
especially the small weeklies and small dailies in these towns. There's over 1,500 towns in cities in America now that are not serviced by a daily or weekly newspaper. That is amazing to me. And that comes down to the fact that these things were bought by, in large part, corporations or hedge funds who did it for investment purposes only and weren't concerned about the fact that they are the watchdogs of the community.
Right. And when they do cut, they don't cut their salaries or executive salaries. It's always they cut the reporters and the people who actually produce the product.
Yeah. And so what are we left with? We're left with fewer and fewer places for comic strips to run. To save paper, the comics are, I imagine, still pretty damn popular. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm not. So.
Well, someone had mentioned, and I didn't write this down, but that whenever they have surveys, the comics always come out on top, and yet that's what they cut.
They cut them more and more. Prickly City runs very small, and Sunday papers are used to, and this is the rantings of an older cartoonist now, but you did have more space back in the day. to draw. And if you chose, there are different formats you could pick. Peanuts picked, the boxes were stacked, and that's how he ran. I chose to have one big box, and I could break it up any way I wanted to, but it allowed me to have really express my art, my artistic temperament, and it was wonderful. And now those days are gone too. Sunday comics now are roughly the same size that daily comics were when you and I, Janine and I, I'm looking at Janine saying you and I, when you and I were kids. I mean, that's terrible.
And they don't have as many of them. Remember when I was a kid, because I grew up with one page of comics. But when I went to some place that had two pages, like this is great. They've got two whole pages of comics. Woo-hoo. It's like comic nirvana.
Well, and we may come back to that someday. I think the internet, I don't know if that's the answer or not. But, you know, people love comics and cartooning, and I know to my marrow that this is going to work out just fine, and we're going to come back somehow. Maybe not in time for my career, frankly. I'm getting older. But there's going to be some younger cartoonists who are going to come up and figure it out, and it's going to be exciting and wonderful to watch. So on that note, I'm going to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly Seed Podcast. Thank you, Janine.
You're welcome.
Thank you to our wonderful producer, Brian Altimer. He's amazing. He gave me a Blackhawks towel.
So now you love him for life.
Oh, he's giving me other Blackhawks stuff. I just love Brian. He's the best guy ever.
He is swell.
And a good dad. I went off on some tangent. He was talking about his barbecue. I feel bad.
Well, that's okay. Move on.
Next time. I'll ask my God for forgiveness, and I'll move forward on this one. Thank you to WGN and WGN Plus, who put up with us, let's use the equipment and post the podcast. So thank you guys for that. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, you can do so by going to gocomics.com/prickly city, and you can sign up, register for stuff. It's awesome. And you can leave a comment. Maybe we'll read it here on the podcast. If you want to contact us directly and privately, you can do so by writing to us at pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. And lastly and not least, thank you all for listening. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.